Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. I live on the East Coast in a woodsy town, and every day I take my two dogs, Bailey and Bomber, to the woods. Now, the woods are gorgeous. However, there is a major downside. I am regularly finding ticks on them, and as many people know, ticks carry Lyme disease. Well, joining us today to share her experience with Lyme disease in her incredible book, Insights into Lyme Disease Treatment, 13 Lyme Literate Healthcare Practitioners Share Their Healing Strategies, is Connie Strass. Time. Connie, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Thank you, Lisa. It's great to be here.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on the show. You know, in the foreword to your terrific book, Insights into Lyme Disease Treatment, Maureen McShane, MD, writes, quote, "This very informative book is the first of its kind on healthcare practitioners and doctors who treat tick and insect-borne chronic illnesses with different methods." Connie, how does it feel to be the first person to write such a comprehensive book on Lyme disease?
Well, it's really a privilege for me, Lisa, because, you know, there are other books on Lyme disease out there, but I had this idea to write this book because there really just isn't that much information on Lyme disease that's been published by the experts. And so I thought, wow, what if I can get a bunch of the best doctors together to tell me what they do to combat Lyme disease? And, you know, and it was wonderful because we did find enough doctors to participate. And so I think the result was just a really comprehensive book. With information that's not found in a lot of the other books online. And it is, because it is such a complicated disease to treat, I thought, wow, the more opinions that I can get, the better. So
yeah,
that's
definitely
how it all came together, yeah.
Now, Connie, in 2005, you were diagnosed with Lyme disease. If you can tell us about that time in your life.
Yeah, sure, thanks. It was really difficult. I actually got sick in 2004, and so for a year, I didn't know what was wrong with me. I just kind of crashed overnight with a bunch of symptoms, chronic fatigue-like symptoms and, you know, neurological symptoms. And I had to go to 14 doctors before I was diagnosed. But, you know, that wait time in between was just agony because I thought my body's falling apart. What's going on? And so finally, yeah, in 2005, I was diagnosed in Denver by a physician at the Fibromyalgia and Fatigue Center. And I was fortunate in that I had a positive antibody response test to Lyme, whereas a lot of people with Lyme don't actually test positive. And so it was easier to determine whether I needed treatment, although even then at the time my doctor had said, well, there are a lot of false positives too. And so she had consulted with six other doctors and said, you know, should I treat her because there are false positives on the tests? And three of those doctors said yes and three said no. And so she came back to me and said, you're going to have to tell me what you want to do because, you know, I'm going to leave the decision up to you. And so I thought, okay, I began to do some research and I decided that I needed to treat. And so I'm glad I did because it turns out that, you know, that the diagnosis was accurate.
Now, what was involved in your treatment?
Well, you know, I've done a lot of things, and I have mostly, I started out doing antibiotics, but my body at that time, I was so infected and I was so weak that I didn't respond very well to them. And so I only did them for a couple of months, and then I spent probably the next three and a half years doing more alternative treatments for Lyme disease, like herbal remedies. I used some techniques in electromedicine and just stuff that, you know, had worked for some other people. And those treatments got me, they brought me further along the road of health, but they didn't cure me. And so finally I caved into doing antibiotics and I have been doing those actually for 6 months. So I'm still treating it, but I'm quite a bit better and I'm functional now. But it's taken a long time because, you know, as so many people, when you have multiple infections, as I did, because Lyme disease isn't just one infection. For a lot of people, it can be four or five major infections plus, you know, any other incidental infections that crop up. And the treatment for such people can be really difficult. And so I'm glad that I'm doing the antibiotics now because my body can handle them, whereas like 4 years ago, I don't think I would have done so well. But the approach is, you know, it has to be different for everyone. And I think for the vast majority, given what I've learned, I think a combination treatment of both antibiotics and alternative or natural remedies like herbs and things is probably the best. And most doctors in integrative medicine, most doctors that I interviewed in my book, they actually use both of those. You know, they combine the best of natural medicine with allopathic medicine, and so that seems to work the best for most people.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to ask about all the doctors, but I don't have enough time, so I chose a few of the doctors to ask about.
Sure.
One of them was Dr. Stephen J. Harris of Redwood City, California, and he uses strategies found in conventional, functional, and complementary medicine, and he talks about the herbal remedies in conjunction with the pharmaceutical antibiotics, and he also talks about the importance of healing emotional trauma, and in the preface, you talk about that, you know, each practitioner, you know, they offered a different or unique perspective, but that there was some common themes that emerged. And I noticed that was one of the common themes. And I think that is really important. And if you can touch on that and if that was something that you worked with.
Yeah. And I really think that there is a lot of truth to the emotions affecting the body. And there has been a lot of documented research done on how the emotions affect the body. And so people that have unresolved trauma in their lives often have difficulty healing, and I think most of the doctors that I interviewed agreed with that, and so they always, you know, try to incorporate some sort of strategies for healing the emotions and the spirit in their regimens, and it's also like people who are sick with Lyme need a lot of emotional support and financial support, and the people that tend to do best with their healing are those that have been able to address their traumas, have been able to get the support of friends and family to help them through their treatment regimens, and it's sad because not everybody has that support. But for me personally, you know, I have a strong relationship with God. I believe in a loving God who wants to help his creation, and so for me that was really important for my own healing. But there are a lot of strategies that the doctors throughout the book mention for healing the spirit and healing the emotions. And so, yeah, that's just definitely because the entire immune system gets suppressed under conditions of stress. And
oh, sure does.
So, yeah, that's just – and that's it's kind of a more difficult area to address too sometimes because it's kind of like, well, what's going to work? What's going to bring a person out of a depression? And the fact that, you know, the disease itself causes a depression doesn't make things any easier. So,
yeah, you know, that's really interesting because – Ginger Savley, DNP in San Francisco, she writes about the challenge of coming up with the individualized treatment plans because you don't know what's going to work for everyone. And so when you were talking about that, it made me think of that. Now, I think she was probably talking more about pharmaceuticals versus herbal remedies versus, you know, other acupuncture or whatever it is. Now, was that part of your experience that it was tough to get the treatment plan just so?
Yeah, and it's because people have different things going on as well. It's not like everybody has a different biochemistry. Everyone has a different set of infections. Some people can't adhere to their treatment regimens. Other people have doctors that are not quite as experienced. And so there are a lot of factors that go into what people need and what's going to work for them. For instance, people that have weak adrenals might not respond as well to treatments, or people that have trouble detoxifying neurotoxins from the organisms, you know, they'll need a different treatment regimen. And as one doctor, Stephen Bach, whom I also interviewed, he says that, he believes that for some people, Borrelia is not the main problem. He said for some people, you know, there could have been an immune problem that preceded the disease or some sort of hormonal problem that came before the disease. And so then once you have the disease, you have to contend with all of that. So that can be tricky. And for me, I've definitely dealt with that because I think I was one of those people. I was co-infected, but I also had emotional trauma to deal with, and I also had, you know, I've had really severe hormonal imbalances, and that's a really tricky thing to correct. So, most people, and the thing is with Lyme doctors too, a lot of them, you know, they know about all these things, but for them to be an expert in every area of the body is really complicated. And so oftentimes a person that goes to a Lyme doctor will also have to see an endocrinologist or, you know, someone to help them with the emotional aspect of healing because the Lyme doctors, they can't be everything. Some of them do a pretty good job of, you know, incorporating all the aspects of healing into their protocols, but for the most part, it just seems like you have to just count on a number of different resources to put together a good plan.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, another thing that was talked about throughout the book was detoxification, which you touched on, and healing the gut were also, you know, prevalent. And, you know, I don't know if you've, are there any mainstream doctors who really don't use the alternative, or it seems like all the doctors you talked to were pretty open-minded and pretty much practice both, even just the, you know, the MDs, which I was happy to see.
Yeah. No, the doctors that, all the doctors that I interviewed, they work in integrative medicine, and I don't know, I'm not sure if that's necessarily the case for all doctors that treat Lyme disease, but most Lyme specialists, the ones that are good, will incorporate, you know, they'll address all these different areas of healing, because the thing is that it's not just about killing some infections or getting rid of the infections. It's about supporting all of the body's systems, which is really crucial. You know, if you're a strong person, maybe you can take some antibiotics and that's all you need. But most people, when the disease goes chronic, need their body to be supported. They need the gut to be supported. And the gut is really, that's one area where people with Lyme disease, you know, there are a lot of problems there. There's a lot of gut dysbiosis, what's called leaky gut syndrome, where you have a lot of food allergies and large particles of food pass through the walls of the intestine and into the bloodstream, and they cause inflammation. And so I think most good Lyme doctors have to be aware of that, and they are. So, so that's another area that's really important to address.
Yeah, you know, in the introduction I mentioned that I live in a woodsy area and I always take my dogs to the woods, although I don't take them anymore in the summer because the ticks are horrible, as are the mosquitoes. And I'm wondering, you know, for people who maybe aren't familiar, are there other ways to get Lyme, or is that the primary way, is through it's a deer tick, isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's still pretty much the consensus. It's thought that other insects can transmit the disease, but
oh, really?
I think that, yeah, like biting flies and mosquitoes and things, but there hasn't been, I think, any substantial proof of insect-to-human transmission of the disease through a mosquito, but they do know that the other insects carry it. And yeah, you really just can't be too careful, especially if you're out on the East Coast. I mean, Lyme disease is a nationwide epidemic, but I know where you're at, it's particularly severe. And so when you go out hiking, you just always want to make sure that you wear light-colored clothes, that you tuck your pants into your socks, and that you have someone check you when you, if you're going into the bush, you know, just check you for any ticks. And if it's caught in the early stages, then treatment is a lot less complicated and recovery is much faster. But even the guidelines that most doctors use to treat early stage Lyme are inadequate. Most of the time, they're saying now that you need 6 to 8 weeks of antibiotics, even if you catch it, like the tick bite, right away. And unfortunately, most people who go chronic with the disease, they don't remember getting the tick bite. And so it's just... Yeah, so it's something you just really know, but that's okay. So it's just something you really just, you know, want to pay attention to when you go out. And
you know, I had read that the tick has to actually be attached to you for 48 hours. I mean, something interesting that happened that was scary. As I was in the shower, and I have one, like a shower door, and my five-year-old was outside of it, and everything was steamy, and she plays this game where she puts her hand up, and I kind of follow it, like she's on the outside. And then she put her foot up, and I put my foot up, and I looked, I'm like, what is that, dirt? And it was a tick, but it had just, like, barely started. Like, it barely got into me.
Okay.
So I took it right out, and I was fine. But I was told it actually has to suck, not to be gross, but, you know, on your blood for a while in order to, like, transmit. If you can tell us about that, because it's a little confusing.
I am not sure about that, but what I would say is that if you find a tick on you and you think it's gotten into your skin, I would send it into a laboratory to get tested.
Okay.
And I would go in and get a test anyway. You know, just to be safe. And
yeah, you know, it's funny. Both my dogs test positive for Lyme every year, and so far they've been okay. But it's really scary. But now you're doing better overall then.
Yeah, no, I'm much better. I'm very functional. I'm not quite to where I was before, but I've been healed significantly, and I'm able to work, and so I'm very happy about that. But it's been a long journey for sure, and I wish that the information that's available now had been available to me 5 years ago, because 5 years ago there really weren't that many books on Lyme, but now they're just coming out really fast, I'm noticing, which is a good thing because I think it means the awareness is increasing.
Well, it sure is, and your book is fabulous, and it really increases awareness, and I'm so glad that this book is available, and you should be so proud of yourself, because, Connie, it's really great. Now, How can people – oh, the one thing I didn't ask, which I'm sure people are like, you didn't ask about the symptoms. You mentioned the fatigue. What are some other symptoms? This is for people, especially who live in areas where they're out with, you know, in the woods a lot and stuff.
Well, and in the initial stages when you get bitten, you'll tend to get flu-like symptoms. But when it goes chronic, you know, it can present with over 300 different symptoms. But they tend to be like chronic fatigue, like they affect, you know, central nervous system symptoms. And there's a complete list of all the symptoms actually on the ILADS website, which is ILADS.org. It's the International Lyme and Associated Diseases Society website. And they're all listed right there. And now a lot of those symptoms are found in other diseases, but there's like a survey you can take on there. And if you have a certain number of the symptoms, they'll say, okay, it could be that you have Lyme. You might want to go get tested. So. And you always want to go to a doctor that treats, I would say that Lyme is like their specialty because it's just really too hard to diagnose otherwise. Most doctors just don't know how to recognize it adequately.
And how do you know if a doctor, is there a list somewhere of doctors
ILADS, again, that's, you know, they can give you a referral on that site of a doctor that's in your area. Also, some of the Lyme disease online groups, like LymeNet is one. I think it's a rather large group, and you can often get good doctor recommendations there, or even through local support groups. But it's when it goes chronic, it's one of those things. It's so difficult to treat that you really want to go to someone who is a specialist in Lyme.
Oh yeah, of course. Now, Connie, do you have your own website? I mean, you mentioned.
Yeah, I have a blog site, and then I have site where it talks about the book. And one is called Lyme Insights, insights.com, and the other is the blog is Lyme Bites, so it's lymebyte.blogspot.com. And that blog has a lot of just general information about Lyme and treatments and stuff. So. You can also download the first chapter for free on that website. So that might be helpful for some people.
Oh, definitely. Well, I want to thank you so much. And if people want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. I hope everyone has a great week. Take care.